Saturday morning, and welcome to Talk Back with Cynthia and Friends. This morning, our friend is
Fred Parcells. And it's not even the end of the month.
No, it's not. You're here on a special day. And we have with us for the first hour, Varen Swearingen, who is president.
That's correct.
The Free State Project.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we are going to talk about that in just a minute. So, Varen Swearingen,
yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're leaving immediately at 10 o'clock.
Just about, yeah.
Okay.
Heading that way.
Now, tell us the background of why are you not here, but why are you
why
here?
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Yeah, right.
Why are you... You moved here.
Well, why?
You had a family.
Why Keene is simple. I like the town.
Okay.
That's not too terribly complicated.
But did you come and check us out beforehand?
I did. And that's part of, I guess, maybe the story you're getting at is why did we move to New Hampshire in the first place? And the short answer is the Free State Project. I first heard about and just so that the listeners know, I guess I have to disclaim some of what I say here. The Free State Project is a fairly simple idea. And that is that we look for the number that we've picked is 20,000 people who are willing to move to a state. And New Hampshire was the state that was chosen by a vote of the first 5,000 people. And once they're there, work towards the creation of a society in which the maximum role of government is the protection of life, liberty, and property. In other words, a free state.
Mm-hmm.
And that is simple and basic and that's it. The Free State Project doesn't take positions on issues or campaigns or candidates or even tactics or methods. So there's a lot you'll find Free State Project participants disagree on certain things, you know. But the project is just looking for people that want to, you know, smaller government.
So if the maximum role of government, as it is believed by the Free State Project, as you've just said, what does the Free State Project believe is the minimum role of government?
Well, there again, the Free State Project doesn't take a position on that.
What do you believe is the minimum role?
Well, minimally, let's see. We could back up just a step and make an observation, and that is that government exists 100% all the time. Something governs everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, it's ourselves, and that's kind of the natural way things go. So really, I guess the minimal role of political government would be none, that we would all govern ourselves. And some people have that as their goal.
Is that realistic?
That's a good question. If people were perfect, then I suppose any form of government might be realistic.
But you and I know, as realistic individuals, that people are not perfect.
That's right.
Perhaps with the exception of those of us in this room.
Of course. But then the question becomes, how do you address the problem of imperfect people? And is government the right solution to that? And if it is, under what circumstances? Those are questions that the Free State Project itself doesn't answer.
Yeah. I've heard it suggested, actually said to me face-to-face and over the phone by two individuals who are involved in this whole movement called the Liberty Movement or Free State Movement. I know it has differing names.
Yeah, Voluntary. We can't even agree on that.
Yeah, well, that's true. Big L versus little L.
Right.
That's as in libertarian. I've heard it said and been said to me that, at least here in New Hampshire, there are perhaps two Free State Project movements going on. One is what's occurring here locally with our Free State band of however many there are, 20, maybe, I don't know. And then there's what's going on the other side of the mountain, so to speak, the rest of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference being, in a few words, is over here we've got some more... demonstrated civil disobedience type behavior.
Sure.
And over on the other side of the state, people who moved here or became involved with the project are actually getting elected to various offices, be it the state legislature or select boards or you name it. They're trying to make change from within rather than throwing stones against the building from the outside.
Right.
Yeah. So where do you come down on? What are you?
Well, I guess the big disclaimer is the Free State Project doesn't take a position. I have my own opinions, and for the most part, I haven't engaged. And it's interesting that you're here, Cynthia, because you were involved in maybe an example of what I have done. I have not made a habit of engaging in civil disobedience. And there was an issue when I first moved here with my driveway, you may recall. And recognizing that particular section of the code, never mind what affected the building of my house itself, but that code addressed city property. That is, that the part of the driveway that was regulated by the code is the part that's on the city's land. And I felt that it was appropriate to respect that and go through the ordinary process, despite the fact that it took 2 years and the city said no the first time around. Now, that may be onerous, but it is the city's land, so I decided to show that level of respect. Unfortunately, of course, the majority of the zoning and building laws don't afford me the equal reciprocal respect, you might say, but you can't fight evil with evil, I suppose.
Well, and the only way
the planning board changed
their mind. They did, and I do appreciate that, and we did finish the driveway.
Right.
So, you know, that did work out. It took, obviously, way longer than I think it should have taken. It could have been a 15-minute deal. We're talking about 30 square feet of concrete.
Right, and it had, basically, just so people know, it had to do with the fact that the driveway can't be three cars wide
It
comes to the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And if you have a three-car garage, that's tough. And he ended up with an island because he had a cement driveway and a cement sidewalk.
Yeah.
He ended up with an island in the middle of his driveway because it couldn't be.
It was cute. Actually, the city engineer came over and I asked him probing questions like, well, you know, this is the city's property. What if I put something there and don't call it driveway? And I'd be happy to put something like concrete there, but not call it driveway. No, you can't do that. I said, well, can I put gravel there? No, it's got to be grass. And so I asked him, well, who mows that grass? It's not my land. And he didn't have an answer for that.
But the strange thing was, I went to the planning board to represent Varin because he was out of town. And the funny part was that just down the street from him, there was a house that had been built with a driveway three cars wide all the way to the street, and they just simply had not followed the rules when they built the house.
Right. Yeah, they just did it.
Yeah, they just did it, and that was fine. And when I brought that up, the planning board sort of looked and said, well, you know, that's a different situation.
Well, I think there was some disbelief, wasn't there, at first?
Right.
Like, no, they couldn't have because they don't have a permit.
Well, the planning board
is not allowed.
The planning board doesn't oversee. I'm on the planning board currently. We don't do site plan review for single-family houses, so the example you're citing about the house down the street wouldn't have come before the planning board anyhow.
But shouldn't the inspectors have caught it?
Yeah, oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, if
and
it's a rule, it's
been
a rule.
Right.
So, anyhow. Well, so, ultimately, what is the goal of the Free State Project? As, here goes my microphone. As I read it, Mr. Sorens, who is the founder, Jason Sorens, does he ultimately envision secession of a state from the United States?
Well,
and then I've read that. I didn't just make that up.
No, he actually, his doctoral thesis at Yale was on secession movements, but the Free State Project itself is not a secession movement. And there again, I'll sound like a broken record. The Free State Project doesn't take a position on that. Now, if you follow the maximum role of government as a protection of life, liberty, and property to its logical conclusion, that does, in the opinion of virtually all of us, create a conflict between that vision and the federal government as it stands now. So not only are there issues at the local level and at the state level, but also at the federal level. And the question of how to deal with that is not one that everybody agrees on. I would envision maybe three possible outcomes, secession being only one of them. Another might be a negotiated solution. You know, let's assume that we're wildly successful, which would be fun. And everybody in New Hampshire likes the idea of freedom, maybe all of a sudden, again. And we decide to tell the federal government, how's this? We'll make you a deal, quit, you know, the taxing and regulating and all of that, and we'll hang in there with you. And if you have some maybe pressing national defense need, we'll chip in a little bit or something like that. But something very basic and simple and not onerous that's going to bind the citizens of New Hampshire. And, of course, maybe a third option would be a standoff, not secession per se, but just telling the federal government, you know, we disagree, we haven't negotiated anything, but just, you know, keep your law enforcers out of here and we'll not arrest them and jail them here in New Hampshire or something like that. I don't know.
357-1290. Fred Parcells and I this morning are talking with Varin Swearingen, who's the president of the Free State Project. Go ahead, Fred.
So a lot of the local individuals involved with this movement, who have most of whom have moved here, some of whom are native-born or have lived here for a while. And as I've said on these very airwaves, and I told you yesterday on the phone, I'm a free stater. I believe in less government.
Yeah.
I believe in less taxes.
Sure.
But I'm not an anarchist.
Right.
And it strikes me, and I read the websites and so on, and I converse with some of the individuals involved, that a good number of them are anarchists. They believe
there are
in
some, yeah.
No government.
That's right.
Is that realistic? That
or more accurately, no political government as we know it today. You know, we all have a differing view on that. They have maybe what most people would think an impractical view, but in their defense, I would cite, you might say, a moral imperative. That is, if you accept the premise that it's wrong for a person or group of people to initiate force or aggression against another person or group of people, then the one tool that government has at its disposal that it claims a monopoly on is the use of the legitimized use of the initiation of force. That becomes wrong and turns government into an organization not altogether different than a business or civic organization.
But the problem is that, I mean, there's a lot of volunteering.
Yeah.
They want volunteerism.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know that's what some of them.
And philosophically, I tend to find myself in that camp.
But do you think that we could ever get police and fire?
Sure.
Things like that. Do you think we could ever get volunteers to do it? And how, if they were volunteer firefighters or police officers, how would they support their families?
Right. There might be a misconception in the term voluntarist versus volunteer as in not for pay.
Right.
I volunteer at work. That doesn't mean they don't pay me. They pay me reasonably well.
Right.
But if I tell them, hey, I'm not going to work for you anymore, they don't come to my house and they don't send me a threatening letter. For starters, and then
right.
They don't eventually come to my house with the gun strapped on or threaten to come with the gun strapped on and say, no, you got to come back to work.
Okay.
So that's really what they mean.
We do have a caller, 357-1290. Good morning, caller. Is he still there?
Yes.
Good, you are, or she. Are you?
Thank you.
You're
that's
on
right.
the air.
That's okay. Thanks for taking my call, but can these free staters please try to explain to me why they chose New Hampshire? Do they think we're a stupid state or something? And try to convince me, because I believe that they think New Hampshire's pretty low on the totem pole. That's why they came here.
Actually, ironically, it's quite to the contrary. The first 5,000 participants, people who agreed to participate, voted. And New Hampshire, I don't know the motives of all of them, but New Hampshire was picked by that vote, I believe, primarily because it has been arguably the smartest state. In fact, Dr. Sorens worked on a report that was released recently by the Mercatus Center that indicates that New Hampshire is still today the freest state in the nation. So obviously the people in New Hampshire have done a lot, like you said, you know, the free staters that have been here forever, more or less, have done a lot to keep New Hampshire free, and that is attractive to people like me.
They've got fewer taxes.
Absolutely.
I mean, and
permit fees.
And fewer regulations. Yeah.
Right. But and they've got that darn motto, live free or die.
Live free or die, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. That's
well.
Smart.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talk Deck.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering, in terms of the values of the free state, how you ever can agree on things, because it's not going to be unanimity in terms of whatever the issue is. You say an example where you tell the federal governments, we agree to cooperate, but how can you use pronouns like we when it's individual liberty? So that's what's confusing to me. At some point, you do have to have some consensus or agreement. If I think that there should be loud noises 24/7 and the person next to me thinks, no, it should end at 10 o'clock, how do you resolve those kinds of differences where the individual liberties kind of impose on other people's liberties?
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
Thanks for calling.
And I guess the first observation is we don't agree on everything. There have been issues, for example, interestingly enough, issues where some Free State Project participants have worked on one side of the issue and others have worked on the other side of the very same issue. There is general consensus, certainly when you get back to the basics of the maximum role of government being the protection of life, liberty, and property, that government should do less, not more. As far as the noise issue, some would certainly claim that that's in essence, a rights violation or a property rights violation. If your noise leaks onto my property, that affects my ability to use my property, or it can anyways. and that's something that I think is best solved person to person.
Okay, so that being the case, you stating person to person, and you and I are the two people in question, and,
sure.
and I'm affecting you with my noise, and you come to me, and I tell you to get lost.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the next step?
Then that's, you know, are we next door neighbors? I guess that's
yes,
the solution.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. yeah.
I would have to first think, well, how far do I really want to go with this? You obviously see value in your noise, and I obviously see value in my quiet.
Yeah.
And I might try to get you to sit down and be reasonable about, well, can we agree on something?
Okay, but I'm not. I'm irrational.
You're irrational and unreasonable. And at some point, then you may get to, for example, a jury of our peers or something like that.
Well, who would convene that? I mean, so where I'm going, we can
yeah.
play this game all the way
sure,
to the very
could,
end.
Ultimately,
who has the final say and how do we get there?
Right, who has the final say? That is a challenging question. The noise issue is a good one because it represents a form, you might say, of pollution that affects somebody else's property. And the anarchist, actually, I don't even know what the anarchist answer to that question would be.
They don't have one. I've asked on these airwaves.
We're going to take a break now.
Oh.
And you're listening to Talk Back on the news station, WKBK 1290 AM and FM 104.1. Fred Parcells, Baron Swearingen, and I will be back. And we are back on Talk Back. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
I'm Fred Parcells.
And I'm Baron Swearingen.
Yes, you are.
That's a long
I don't
name.
Try to be anybody else.
Yes, right.
Nor I.
And we do invite you to call 357-1290, and we can talk about the Free State Project. Baron is the president of the Free State Project. Good morning. You're on Talk Back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I was just thinking, in that case with the music, doesn't it really wind up boiling down to whoever's the biggest, the strongest, has the most guns? I mean, doesn't it start turning like, I mean, we have like a huge, I mean, I've seen that pie on the back of cars where it says the Pentagon, which represents, I guess, our guns and stuff. And doesn't it start boiling, I mean, like in jail, it turns into, I mean, there's no government, so it turns into the biggest, strongest, I guess. And also, like, in the animal kingdom. Doesn't it start turning to like that?
That's why I say out of jail in the animal kingdom.
Yeah, watch out for the lions. You're going to get eaten. And there's a lot of truth to that. Historically, actually, I think that's been the case, but America has set a very different precedent, one that I like better, of not being the biggest, baddest always wins. You know, you've got little old Dick Heller there down in D.C. up against the machine as big and monstrous as it can possibly be. That's the elephant with the lion's fangs and the hornet's stinger and every other tool. And, you know, the Supreme Court hasn't done everything right, but God bless them for getting Heller versus D.C.
So, off air, we had some great conversation, and one of the questions that came to my mind, Baron?
Yeah.
Laissez-faire, an old economic, cultural, whatever, social model of a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hands off, basically, yes.
More
hands
or
off
less.
To the government. It hasn't survived to the 21st century anywhere that I'm aware of. And to my understanding, the Free State Project would be similar in nature, in other words, hands off. And so if laissez-faire didn't work anywhere in the world, how is it that anybody envisions the Free State Project hands-off philosophy and will work?
And there again, it's a good segue to my disclaimer. Again, the Free State Project doesn't take positions on all of this stuff.
But that's the ultimate goal.
We just want a society in which the maximum role of government is the protection of life, liberty, and property. I have my own opinions, and that is that, first of all, laissez-faire, depending on how you define it, of course, can work. Free market voluntary transactions, in fact, are the norm in society. They're not abnormal. They are normal, at least in our society. And there are places, a lot of black markets are very laissez-faire, and they function actually quite well. One of the things that I think is a mistake about laissez-faire is that it supports the idea that dishonesty is acceptable or good. And what is called a failure of the laissez-faire system is really people being dishonest. And, of course, the question I would ask in return is it better to have some dishonest people working in a voluntary market or a few dishonest people imposing their will on everybody through government?
Depends on where you're, what your perspective is,
absolutely.
I suspect.
Absolutely. But dishonesty is not something that... That is a form of assault, force or fraud.
Yeah.
Those are wrong, and most free staters would agree.
So you clearly are my kind of free stater, if you will. You move to Keene, you pay taxes, you...
So far.
You probably have a driver's license.
I do.
You have an airline license, I'll bet.
I do.
And you registered your car, all the above. You ran for state legislature, you tried to become involved. That's how... I would do it, how I did do it. So, but there are others who absolutely object to paying, let's bring this right down to Keene, New Hampshire, paying taxes. And so they do these little things and get videotaped and pay.
Right.
So I'm king now. I'm King Fred. And I come to you and I say...
Do we have to agree with this,
scary.
Cynthia?
I say, Varen, you don't have to pay city property taxes anymore.
Thank you, by the way.
You are waived.
Very good.
But, Varen,
yes,
you cannot walk on my sidewalks, the city sidewalks, because the rest of us pay for those. You cannot drive your car on our roads, because the rest of us pay for those.
Yeah.
How would you react to that? You don't have to pay taxes.
Gotcha.
But you're stuck on your land.
I would play let's make a deal. And here's the deal I propose to you, and that is, how about I pay gas taxes and... get a driver's license and register my car, and how about we contain the expenses for maintaining the sidewalks and the roads to the taxes that I pay, and then we'll revisit this conversation.
The taxes you pay, but you don't want to pay taxes.
Well, if that's the deal you're making, I would propose that counter deal.
I'm happy to
pay for the roads.
Gas taxes don't go to Keene, New Hampshire roads.
Some of them do.
The percentage
in a roundabout
way. Percentage is so small, you'd be stuck to one square inch in front of your house.
Yeah. Well, that's progress. So what do I need? Well, clearly all the property taxes, for example, do not go. Like half go to the schools. What do I need to... how do we need to work out a deal so that I can pay for the roads? My, quote, fair share. The fair is, of course, a phony concept. There is no such thing. But... the appropriate amount to pay for the roads so that they get built and so that I can access them, but not all the rest of the stuff that I really don't like.
Well, we have a call.
1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Fred. Good morning, Varen.
Hey, this sounds like Mark.
It is Mark.
Fred, I'd like to field your taxes question.
Okay.
You say taxes as though taxes are just one big thing together. But the taxes are something I'm forced to pay, and I'm forced to pay for a bunch of... If I lived in Keene, I live in Westmoreland, so therefore I don't have to.
But you don't have taxes up there.
What's that?
You don't have taxes in Westmoreland.
We have much lower taxes than folks in Keene do. And we have fewer, quote-unquote, services. But, you know, the taxes are go to pay a whole bunch of different stuff. At Walmart, I don't have to buy a big shopping cart full of things when I go because it's a voluntary transaction. However, in Keene, the city council has decided you have to pay for all of this stuff because we say so. And that, you know, it's sort of a Hobson's choice there. I do want services like roads and sidewalks and all those things. I just don't want to be forced to pay for things like the recreation center when I feel that the YMCA model is a far better choice and things like that.
Do you want to pay if you live in Keene, hypothetically? We know you don't. Do you want to pay for police and fire protection?
I obviously anybody would be mad not to pay for things like police and fire protection.
Then there must be mad people amongst your movement because there are those who would say they don't want to pay for police and fire.
How about schools?
School, of course. If you want to educate your child, you need to pay to send them to school.
And if you want to homeschool,
you should be able to homeschool.
But should you pay taxes all the same?
Why would you? I don't pay to feed other people's children. I don't pay to feed their.
Oh
dogs.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, sometimes you do.
We fed Sam for how long? Oh, I'm sorry.
Sam and Judge Burke's dispute is something entirely different.
You know what's interesting about that name that you just bring up is prior to his moving here, we were all warned in advance that he was coming, and you bureaucrats, and I'm looking at Cynthia, life was not going to be the same for you all after he got to town. And so the thought I got was, ooh, there's a confrontation coming. And in fact, it did arrive. Mm-hmm. But now he doesn't seem to like it. It's like he came to town telling us it was going to be a confrontation. And did he think that government at all levels was just going to roll over because he came here to confront it? But no, it's confronting him back, and he seems to object to that.
I guess you'd have to talk to him about it.
I will. He'll probably call in, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. And that kind of, you know, goes back to what I was saying. Yes, I'm happy to pay for the roads. As far as fire, do I want to force somebody 90 blocks away from me to pay for fire protection? Probably not. The only interest I have is in my house and a minor interest in my abutting neighbors.
I don't have fire. I don't want to pay for the firehouse, and you and I are still neighbors.
Yeah.
And we haven't gotten over the noise issue yet. But
yeah, we can come back to that.
But you know what? I don't have a fire. I don't pay for the fire department, but my house catches on fire, and it's only 30 feet from your house.
Right. Yeah.
So now I'm forcing you to
put out your fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's an ethical or even moral, you might say, issue about.
I'm neither ethical nor moral.
Oh, no. Well, we have a real problem now.
Well, that's the problem with this whole voluntarist system.
Well, what I'm getting at is, you know, does the fire department watch your house burn down because you didn't pay? That's an ethical question. But the question that relates to my property is, how do I protect my property? And, of course, I would have the fire department protect my property from fires on my property and threats from outside my property. And I suspect that home insurers, which lenders require you to use, would be real happy with that kind of arrangement. So I don't see the fire thing as being a big problem in a voluntary society. And there are even, quote, volunteer fire departments.
Oh, surely there are.
Now, you have two children, and they're homeschooled, right?
Yes, we homeschool them, yeah.
Two lovely children, by the way.
Thank you. We like them, too. We haven't kicked them out yet.
They are.
I keep threatening
them. They're homeschooled, and yet you pay the school tax as well as the...
I'm a you might say, an objecting, compliant kind of person, so far.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, what Mark says is, I tend to agree with, you should... you should be able to. I don't think anybody wants to stand in the way of anybody obtaining the best quality education they can legitimately obtain. But forcing participation in the government school system is not something I inherently agree with. Fortunately, the law itself already allows, for example, homeschooling or private schooling. I think it would be unjust to do otherwise. And the funding issue, I view very similarly. So the law is not necessarily just in that regard. It's, you might say, a communist system. And I use that word not as a slur, but it simply as a description. It really is a communist system of education. And, of course, that's not done good with food. And it's my belief that it doesn't do the very best that it can with education either.
So I've said this before. I'll say it again. It seems to me rather presumptuous of a group of individuals, not many in number, to move to a community. And again, I'm localizing this to Keene.
Sure.
Move to a community that has existed for 250-plus years, done fairly well for itself, has established rules of order, is a law-controlled community, all the above, right? A group said, yeah, that's where I want to live.
Yeah.
But now they want to change it. They don't want to play nicely, so to speak. And we had conversation off air about social contract and moral. Yeah. And it seems to me that if I move to Keene, as I did 37 years ago, I generally agreed to play by the rules unless I could change them. And for me, change was from within the building, not outside the building.
Yeah. And if you follow that argument to its logical conclusion, I should be able to move to what is now Newcastle, Delaware, and be a part of the Dutch colony that my ancestors came to America to found. Because then, of course, it was taken by force by the Brits and later by force by the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We could make that argument.
Well, that's what a couple Carlos ago said, that the strongest will dictate. And I guess your forefathers weren't quite strong enough to...
Maybe not.
357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, the strongest survive. Well, a different side of that is this graduated income tax. And I listen to Dan Mitchell in the morning, and everybody seems to say, well, we want a tax based on a person's ability to pay. And that ability varies with the amount that that person is willing to work. And so why do we, you want to talk about a communist system, that graduated income tax is certainly the worst of the worst. And now, if you listen to what's going on, the tax rates, total tax burden is going to be up over 50%.
Yep.
Why do we want to work so hard, you know? I mean, what makes it? I have a younger brother, for instance, who is a very fine craftsman, and he spends, you know, he'll make a $10,000 desk for you, and it's worth $15,000. But he only does two or three of them a year. He doesn't make much money, but he spends three or four months in Arizona and up in the mountains going around in his canoe and stuff like that. And then he looks at me when I work 80 hours a week and says, hey, gee, how do you do all these things, you know? And he gets a little bit jealous.
Because government takes half of it, right?
And so what happens again, you know, here I am, a small businessman, working hard, trying to keep my people going and everything else, and government at every angle is restricting what I do, mm-hmm. is taking as much money as it can take. We tried to put in a sand pit in Sullivan, very nice, high-quality sand. Had it all done, the owner went with me, $22,000. We got the state permits. We had everything all lined up, and in 45 minutes, the town of Sullivan shut it down. And not only that, well, you're allowed to take 1,000 yards of sand a year, so the owner said, well, you know, we can't do it the other way. I guess we'll just do it this way. So in the past year, the town of Sullivan put in an ordinance so you can't take any sand. So we got a cease and desist order 2 weeks ago, and we went to take a few hundred yards out to service another project in the town of Sullivan, by the way. So these are just examples of how government is taking your money, is putting stones in front of you, doing all these kinds of things that make it harder and harder and harder for an individual to do business.
And that's why we're here. That's why most of us have come here, is to say out loud, but not just say something, but to do something about it.
Less
say,
government.
That's not right.
And I agree also. Government at all levels is out of control.
Absolutely. I ran for the state house the same year George Bush got elected. I couldn't beat Ron Russell, but I tried. And my goal was, if I had gotten into the state house, I would try to undo as much regulation as possible.
Yeah.
To allow the freedom of the individual to work and think clearly and gain through, you know, good old Yankee ingenuity, for lack of a better term, to be creative and get things done.
You might like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. The Free State Project doesn't do anything here in New Hampshire, really. We have a couple of events that are primarily, marketing kinds of things for prospective participants. Come and check us out. But the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance has a lot of Free State Project participants involved, and some not. That are not Free State Project participants, but they're a political organization. They actually do stuff, and they have a lot of those views. In fact, they rate all of the state reps, all of the representatives and senators, based on their stance on liberty. And Keynes come in pretty low,
pretty poorly.
Oh, absolutely. Those ratings are so important. And again, I am so frustrated in the fact that you take a show like Rush Limbaugh, conservative talk show host, and he has such a large listening audience. But yet, and there's several others like him, Sean Hannity and the others. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the voting booth, they voted for Obama. They voted for the liberals. And I just, how can you not have a liberal talk show survive, the conservative talk show survive, but yet the vote goes the other way? It's astounding to me.
Well, at some point, somebody's got to keep score, and the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance does. And you can look there and say, well, how do they score? I will say this, that the, for those who live here in Keene, and a lot of the Monadnock region is like this, the scores are pretty low, and there are people. I was one of them. I didn't do a whole lot of campaigning because I didn't have time, frankly. If I ran again, I would likely really want to put an effort into it. But that, you know, if people want freedom, my hope is that they would vote for it. And there are other options out there. Whether as Free State Project participants, whether they are anarchists working outside the system or not, there are some of us who are ready to support those views inside of government.
See, freedom is what dreams are made of. When a person thinks, gee, you know, maybe if I did work harder, I could achieve something. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. Just the fact that a person is striving to achieve something, to buy a boat, to increase their business, to give to charity, to whatever, That's my job.
Let them do it. Let them do it.
Caller, we do have a couple people behind you. Thank you for your thoughts and opinions. 357-1290, good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning. I appreciate the discussion. A question for your guest.
Sure.
You know, my biases, so to speak, tend to be towards, well, I won't say utilitarian in a purely philosophical sense, but just practical.
You know,
if somebody has an idea that does indeed work better, that seems to work better, at least by my lights, I'm really open to embracing it. My objection with a lot of the rhetoric that I hear from free staters is just the so-called solutions that are offered so
right.
often. They just seem completely fanciful. But anyway, can you point to a society anywhere on the globe that is a voluntary society in which the only strictures or laws where strictures or laws are not enforced by some measure of force, et cetera,
right.
where individual prerogatives are not to any degree circumscribed by acknowledging that there are other people in the metaphorical room, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, and let me give you a two-part answer. First off, as far as the utilitarianist comment, my personal view is that pursuing strategies, we might want to consider a market-based approach. Let people opt out of the current government strategies or government solutions for at least certain things, and pursue something different. Homeschooling being a good example of that, and maybe move the finances around so that it matches that idea. And secondly, as far as where are we now, I think of places like Hong Kong for economic freedom, early America overall. Holland, Germany for personal freedoms. There are some examples we can look to.
Okay, and we are out of time.
Thank you very, very much.
That was a great, great show. Thank you for being here.
And
happy flight.
Yes,
thank you.
You're flying to Athens, you said.
Athens tonight.
Greece,
and
not Georgia.
Not Georgia, that's right.
Okay. So we'll fly safely.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning, Fred and Cynthia.
Hey.
Sam from freekeen.com.
How are you?
Sam, how are you?
Doing very well. Hey, I think y'all are leaving something out here on the Cheshire County complex, and that's that the farm is run by a selectman from Westmoreland, Dave Putnam, so eliminating that would eliminate his job, and, you know, the fact that taxpayers are being flogged for, you know, $58,000 last year and $60,000 so far this year in losses from the farm. That's no reason to.
It's all the more reason. It's all the more reason. And I don't know Mr. Putnam, and I'll take your word for it that he does as you say. I don't know that of my own, but okay, I'll agree with you. And that would be no reason in my mind to not sell that property.
But I mean, that's really the way the system is designed, isn't it? I mean, I want to congratulate the residents of the taxpayers of Keene on their latest camera purchase. They've spent $4,200 to replace my camera. They're about to, because the Keene Police Department managed to destroy it after they took it from me. And it's really, that's what government's about, is having politicians in there who are isolated from their actions, who are immune from responsibility for their acts, and then the taxpayers are there to get flogged as their whipping boy
there you
for
go.
The mistakes of their master.
So, you chose to become part of that. I mean, you know, you
no,
brought
I really
it upon
haven't.
Yourself. Well, yeah, because you moved here from elsewhere,
exactly.
And you told us you were coming and that you were going to confront the system, and in fact, you have.
Fred, I want to call you out on that. When did I say I was going to come here to confront the system?
When you were living in Plano, Texas, not
yeah,
to be confused
you,
with plain old Texas.
Kind of quote or document? I mean, I'm on film.
It was on the website. It was on the website back then that the bureaucrats.
So that's all archived. Can you go back and find that?
No,
I don't think I've ever said that.
Because I'm not quite that competent.
That up,
no, I'm not making it up, Sam. I wouldn't
okay.
do that. But anyhow, but so did you not come here to confront the system?
No.
You didn't?
I don't know.
To live free.
Okay, right. But did you know there were certain...
Unfortunately, there's a group of violent men and women who are willing to aggress against peaceful people, and that's what's been happening.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so...
Our engineer is telling us we got to rock and roll.
Okay, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you for calling. And... And we are back for the final half hour. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
I'm Fred Parcells, and good morning, caller. You are on the air. Wasn't that quick?
Good morning. It's Hello. Ian from freeking.com.
Hi.
I'm great. How are you today?
Super. I hear you guys have Baron Swearingen on this morning.
We did.
Even after I told you we weren't going to.
We wanted to give the other side of the Free State Project some air.
Well, he is the president of the Free State Project, so there's no one better to talk to.
And he doesn't necessarily agree with the civil disobedience type of Free Stater that we've been experiencing here in the Keene area.
Well, I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I didn't hear.
No, I didn't either. But I heard them come from his mouth.
So it was my understanding there was a portion of the conversation where you brought up a scenario with a neighbor making too much noise. For
I did. Varen and I were hypothetical make-believe neighbors, and I was very noisy, irrational, unresponsive, all the above.
Okay, all right. And so your question was, how would that be dealt with in the absence of a monopolistic coercive government?
Yes, I guess in so many words.
Okay. Well, what I would suggest is that the first and best way to handle a situation like that would be to make a deliberate choice as far as where you live, specifically in a deed-restricted neighborhood. If it's very important to you to be able to control what your neighbors do as far as how loud they are or how high their grass grows or, you know, what color their house is painted, those sorts of details, then there are various different neighborhood associations available that will offer...
But we live in a neighborhood that doesn't want that. People want to do as they want to do. They want to have independence.
Well, then you made that choice in advance.
And so did he.
Well, okay, so you chose to live in a neighborhood where that was a possibility because, well, that was your decision, Fred.
And so now, I'm not the one with the objection. It would be Varen in this case.
Oh, right. Well, then he would have no one to blame but himself.
So if he doesn't like what's going on, he needs to move.
Well, I think that he could go and talk to you, but as you said, you're being very obstinate, and,
yeah.
You know, that's how you are, Fred. So
this is hypothetical, you understand.
Yeah, right.
So if you don't want to do anything as far as honoring his request, then it'd probably be a good idea for him to leave because he made a mistake moving into a place like that, or he could try to ostracize you. He could
and before he leaves,
get kids to play with your kids. And
I'm going to start throwing rocks through his window.
But that punishes the children. Yeah.
Sorry, what now?
If you say his kids can't play with your kids, that punishes the kids who aren't any part
true.
Of this.
And before he leaves, I'm going to throw rocks through his windows because I doubly don't like him.
Well,
hypothetically,
he would have done damage to his property.
Yeah. So what's he going to do about it?
Well, he could take you to private arbitration.
And what if I don't want to go?
Well, then your reputation would take a...
I don't care about my reputation, Ian.
Then you're going to have a tough time interacting with a peaceful voluntary society because I think a lot of people will care about reputation, and they may not want to do business with you as a result of that.
As long as I pay for my meat at the meat market, I'm good to go.
That's presuming the meat market will sell it to you, Fred.
If yes,
they
will.
If you have a bad reputation, they may decide they don't want to deal with you because you're a scumbag, and they don't want to be seen associating with you.
Hypothetically, Ian.
But some meat market owners will do anything for a dime, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The alternate Fred, the evil Fred.
All right. Well, anyhow, it was nice to have Varen on because I think he's a little more reasonable and rational, kind of like Mark.
Pardon?
Oh, we will. He was very pleasant to have here.
Oh, and the other thing I wanted to point out was in your call with Sam, you'd said he came here to confront the system.
Yes, and our broadcast engineer told us that he wishes he archived our shows, but when Sam was living down in Plain Old Texas, he actually said similar words on these very airwaves.
All of those are archived over at freekeen.com in the audio section. You're welcome to dig around through them. But what I would suggest is that indeed people are choosing to live free, and it is the agents of the coercive state that are doing the confronting. They don't like it when people decide that the state has no legitimacy and is just a bunch of violent...
What's interesting is well more than 50% of Keene residents and New Hampshire residents are from anywhere else but New Hampshire. They're not native born. So they chose to live in the state and in this community and in this county. They chose to come here and live here and to participate and follow the rules.
Between choosing to move somewhere and choosing to become a part of a coercive monopolistic gang.
No, I don't think so. I think it's all in one.
And obey all of their diktats. Well, your suggestion, Fred.
But the rules were made. The laws were made by people who were elected by.
these very people.
A minority of people, and it wouldn't matter to me if it was a majority of people, because might doesn't make right, and the majority doesn't make right. If 51% of the people decide they want to do violence to somebody, it doesn't make that violence acceptable just because 51% or 75% or 99% decided that that was okay.
Well, for today it does. We have another caller. Thank you. Have a great day. 357-1290. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. Hello. Hello.
Boy, this is an interesting radio station.
Where are you calling from?
I'm from Keene.
Oh, welcome, Pilgrim.
I listen like when I'm going to do errands on Saturday mornings and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And it just happens to be I must turn on the radio and I hear some of the same, I don't want to use the word characters, but for lack of a better word, characters that seem to call in every time I happen to turn it on.
It's the Mickey Mouse Club.
Pardon?
It's the Mickey Mouse Club, young people having fun while they wait to grow up.